Y'all pray with me. Dear Lord, we just want to ask that you'd just guide our thoughts tonight as we dive into your scriptures, that you would just bless us, Lord, with an understanding and be able to apply some of the things that we've heard and maybe some things that we will learn from the story of Ruth, and be able to apply those to Proverbs, but not just in there, but to also leave here allowing you to show some differences in our life, to make us conformable unto the image of your Son. Lord, would you just help us with that? I pray for the right words to speak, for the right discretion, that you would just lead my mind and the words that may come forth, Lord, that they will be understood by your people, so that they may be able to magnify your name even greater in all their ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see the book of Ruth, and I think that Proverbs really can help us to understand. I think these two stories can help us understand both of these even better. Because Proverbs chapter 14 begins with, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." You know, the story of Ruth begins with Naomi not really being so wise about what's going on, but Ruth, she is a different character altogether. Where she is very wise in the thing that she does, and she's very noble, she's very bold in what she's willing to do. And you know, and as you read the scriptures, you notice that. You notice that God uses those characters that are bold, that are noble, that are generous, that are full of integrity, just like the characters of Ruth and Boaz. So we see in Ruth that what makes a person wise, you know, if you read the first part of the Proverbs, you see that wisdom comes when you properly fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Ruth, in meeting this Israelite family, even though she was a Moabite, remember the Moabites, they weren't God servers. They were God rejectors. They sacrificed their children to idols. This was an escape for her. So I just think that that's really interesting that Proverbs 14 begins with the wise woman. How will a wise woman, and it won't just apply to a woman, but it can apply to a man, but I just think it's interesting how we can take these two stories and start putting them together. And then I'm not going to reread through the whole proverb, but I want you to look down at verse 4. It says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." You see, I think Ruth recognized something. And I'm sure that most of y'all do. You know, on Wednesday night, those kids leave a big old mess back there. I'm sure Brother Comer can testify to it. Anybody who's helped clean up afterwards realizes that it's a mess back there because there's a bunch of kids. You know, if we didn't have any kids, well, there would be no mess. You know, Brother Comer wouldn't have to clean up. You know, he walks in on Tuesday morning most of the time and goes around and picks up all the peppermint wrappers because however they all get there, but he picks them up and he never complains one time. I've never heard him say anything bad about the peppermint wrappers. And he'll even go back and refill the candy bowls with more peppermints so that people can leave wrappers on the floor. I don't know what they do with the candy, but the wrappers are left on the floor. the reason is because some people come in. We have a whole herd that come in on Sunday mornings and Wednesday, and they leave a mess because where no oxen is, it'd be clean. What does that mean? It means where they are, it's dirty. And Naomi realizes something Ruth, she is willing to take care of Naomi. She realizes that Naomi is an older lady, and that this is going to be a dirty job. It's going to be a hard job. For her to be able to take care of Naomi means that she has to leave her family. I don't know if she has a brother, sister, mom, dad, but it's not like she can get in a car and drive for an hour and see them. That's not going to happen. She's probably never returning. And she's a young lady, old enough to remarry according to the story here. And she says, I'm willing to give all that up. Orpah, not so much. She went back. She's like, I'm not ready to give up everything yet. Yes, I want to get married. Yes, I want to have a family. And Ruth says, those things don't matter as much to me. Naomi matters more. And she realizes it's going to be a dirty job. Now, I don't know if she thought that God was going to bless her. I don't think that she was expecting that at all. But I'm telling you, God recognizes that. Those who are willing to get dirty, those who are willing to step beyond their comfort zone, God takes notice. And He will bless those people. He'll bless them abundantly. I want you to continue to follow this story. It says, but much increase is by the strength of the ox, the thing that makes it dirty. You know, Ruth doesn't know what her future is. But there's somebody who recognizes what she's doing and laying the path. You remember Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6? What is that verse? Somebody quote that for me. Do you? Yeah, when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and you don't lean upon your own understanding. My own understanding, if I was Ruth, I'm like, that job's too hard. What's in it for me? I want to know that there's a good paycheck at the end of that. That's what my human mind tells me. But Ruth, it didn't matter. Because she learns, I don't know if she learned it or she was just willing to do whatever. She was willing to acknowledge God. What did she tell Naomi? She says, your people, my people. Your God, my God. I'm willing to acknowledge Him and let Him deal with the details. That's what Ruth did. Much increase by the strength of the ox. Y'all saw the story. You know what happens at the end. Ruth is the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. How would you feel? She didn't know that. We read about it. You read Luke. You read Matthew. She's in there. She's in the lineage of kings and the King of Kings because she was willing to follow God with all of her heart and to do what was right, not even realizing, not even seeing that type of promise. It wasn't promised to her. Much increase by it. She was willing to take those chances, willing to labor, willing to go above and beyond. Look with me in verse 7. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You see, Ruth, she realized that there's a difference between the gods that she served in Moab and the God that Naomi told her about. Even though Naomi's life looked like it was falling apart, she saw something there that was worth holding on to. Even during the darkest moments of her life, can you imagine that? Some of you have lost some children or a spouse. Naomi lost both. She lost everything. She didn't even have a means of income. And Ruth is saying, I'm willing to accept that. So she follows Naomi, and she goes from the presence of the foolish that were there to something greater. And then verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. I think it's amazing whenever you look in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3 that it says that she had to go to Boaz's field. You think she just happened to go there? No, God's hand was all over it. That she went there because God was directing her path. She didn't really realize what she was doing, but God was leading her mind, leading her direction, and pointed her to that field where she was going to meet up with Boaz. So the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. You know, if you're going to be a prudent person, you need to understand your way. If you're a Christian, do you really understand your way? The Bible will explain it like this. God's ways are not my ways. If you're a Christian, you have surrendered your way to the way. The way, the truth, and the life to Jesus Christ. That's what you've done. And the prudent person says, I'm willing to surrender to Him whatever direction, whatever way He wants me to go, however He wants me to live in this life, I'll let Him deal with the details, and I'm just going to follow where He leads, where He guides. So did she happen to be in that field? Yeah, she happened to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the story wasn't even in there. And guess what happens? She comes back. She tells Naomi, hey, this and this and this happened. I met Boaz. He told me, he expressed his generosity. He told me to stay right here, to not go to any other field. And he allowed me to get a drink. He allowed me to eat with his servants. And Naomi, in chapter 2 and verse 20, she sees the hand of God at work. Can you imagine how much of a blessing that was to Naomi? To say, you know what? My sons, you know, that mean, well, if you look at what their names mean, they mean sickly and pining. They mean that they were ill from their very births. And Naomi, all of a sudden, she sees life coming back into her family from somebody. She didn't birth them. She didn't raise them. It was someone who had actually adopted her. And she sees the hand of the Lord at work in Ruth's life. Why? Just like we said, because she was following God and not her own personal agenda. And I think that's very important, especially while we're looking at Proverbs 14. I want us to skip down to verse 21 in Proverbs 14. It says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. You see, Ruth's goal was to take care of Naomi. You know, and often we struggle to see past what it is that we're actually doing. We can't, maybe you're better than I am, but I struggle to see the fruit of things that I'm going to do 10, 20 years from now. I know that there is, but I like to see it right now. I wouldn't have made a good Old Testament prophet that made it in the book of Hebrews that looked forward to the promises, not ever really even receiving anything. I would struggle with that. I want to see things happen now. I want to see them happen fast. And that's not how God works. And I have to keep that going through my mind. God does not work fast like that. He takes His time. And He's more interested in my growth as a Christian and as a man of God than He is really what's going to happen in the future. Now, if I'm growing, if I'm doing what He wants me to do and how He wants me to do it, then what we will see is 20 years from now, there will be fruit from the labors. Some of it I may not even be witness to. I won't know what happens until I get to heaven. And then that person tells me when I meet them. But I may never know. And God wants me to be okay with that. But sometimes he does let us see things sooner than that. So what I need to do now is I need to make sure that I don't despise my neighbor now. But God, he's gonna look down and he's gonna say, if you despise people, then you're gonna have problems. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. And I'm telling you, in our generation, it's really easy to not like your neighbors very much. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You know, we got to understand happiness a little bit too. Happy is not, I got a smile on my face. Happy is, I know I'm doing the right thing, the right way, because God has directed it. And I can have joy, I can have true happiness knowing that I'm in the will of God and what it is that I'm doing. And I'm allowing Him to work circumstances out in my life. Am I having fun with it? I may not be having fun with it. But I can know for a fact that I'm doing the right thing according to God's Word. It says, then do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. You see, God looks on those that are trying to do good, and he shows mercy, and he gives them truth. He gives them the truth of the Scriptures. Isn't that what he did to Ruth? Her goal was innocent. I want to take care of somebody who can't take care of themselves. She has nothing to offer me. That's what Ruth believed. She's like, Naomi can give me nothing more. She cannot give me another husband. She's poor. She's over here in Moab. She has nothing. But I'm willing to accept her. I am willing to do good to her. And God's mercy was to take care of Ruth. That's what he saw. He saw someone willing to give to someone else. And he says, because she's willing to give, I'm going to bless her. I'm going to give to her. Look in verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury means to lie. Ruth's labor of love and loyalty and courage was noticed by Boaz. You see, the things that we do not go unnoticed. Somebody sees it. Somebody's always watching. If you name the name of Christ in your life, somebody is watching you. They're seeing what you're doing, and they're looking at you to say, is that person really a Christian? Whether or not that they are a Christian or not, they know the rules for Christians. And they're looking to see, are you really a Christian? Do you really act the way that you say that you believe? Are you a testimony with your life, with the words that you say, with the direction that you are taking your life? Or does it look like you're a selfish person and self-centered, and you really only are doing things in your own life, and you call yourself a Christian because you think that it benefits you in some way? You know, people recognize that. But Ruth's labor of love and loyalty was noticed by Boaz as an honest approach. He didn't see any self-righteousness in her. He saw total honesty and integrity of character. It does not go without notice, without being noticed. Even by Boaz, absolutely the Lord is all over this situation. And now, he's helped Boaz to see what Ruth is doing. Look in verse 26. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You know, when I was going back over this message for this afternoon, I saw something that I'd never seen before. Because oftentimes, and it kind of just backs up something that I believe, but I never really saw it before. We see someone kind of in a foreign land, who does not know the God of the Bible, yet desires to know the truth. You know, there's always a question that comes up. Well, what about those people who have never heard the gospel? What about those people? Will God just send them to hell unmercifully because they don't know? Because when you read the scripture, they have to recognize Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross to be saved, right? According to the scriptures. So what about those who have never heard? How does God deal with them? I believe that he would deal with them just like he has done Ruth. Someone, God will direct someone, somehow, some way, to be a missionary, to go over there and let them know the gospel. And we see it with Ruth. Her heart is different than the rest of the Moabites. Her heart is different than Orpah's. She desires to know the truth. She desires to know the God of the Bible that we talk about and we serve with our life. She desires to know that. And God has sent. Now, why Naomi's family had to go through such a hard time? You know, is it God's will? You know, sometimes we get caught up in the details. God's not as worried about what happens to some people's lives as he is somebody else's salvation. Does that make sense? He is willing that you would die so that this person could be saved. You don't believe that that's the truth? Well, what about Jesus Christ? He was willing to send his only begotten Son to die so that you could be saved. Do you think that you are more valuable than the Messiah? The Messiah was God's most precious thing, and he was willing to give it. And we hold on to so much junk in our lives, and we're unwilling to part with whatever to benefit others. Let me tell you, you don't have strong confidence in the Lord. And you have a problem with verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children have a place of refuge. That I should want God's children to have a place of refuge and be willing to reach out however God wants me to. If it means the life of my family, not that I want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. But if that's what it takes, I need to be willing. Now, I don't know if that's a very popular teaching in Christian circles, but it is one that's in the Scripture, and we don't need to be self-righteous in that respect. We need to be givers, not just of our money, not just of our time, but of our lives. That's the Bible. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The snares of the death, that's eternal separation from Almighty God. That we can help others escape from that. Ruth absolutely helped others escape from that. We don't know what the rest of the story was. Was she able to reach some of her family later on? We do know that she gave birth to the granddad of King David. That she entered into the heir of the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords. That she was one of the ancestors of him. So we see evidence of God's missional reach to anyone who calls out to him in the story of Ruth. We also see as God begins to draw their hearts towards each other, talking about Ruth and Boaz, and God's law and tradition of the kinsman redeemer was working. You know, we don't understand the kinsman redeemer very much. But can you imagine someone who could not support themselves? What would they do? You know, we're trying. I think one of the best things that you could point to as a kinsman redeemer in our society is probably like the foster care system. I mean, we're a part of that now. But we're talking about people that can't take care of themselves, who were given to others who voluntarily take in, and they don't know what they're getting. They're getting a mess a lot of times. And they're willing to accept that because they understand somebody has to step in that place for them. And we don't know how to do that very well. We just don't. So God begins to draw their hearts, and He's got this traditional law of the kinsman redeemer where this is what happened to Boaz. Boaz is saying, I'm not worried about my future generations' wealth and their progression, their fame, their glory. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take care of this family over here that's lost everything. That's what Boaz does. That's what he did. And he was willing to do that for Ruth and Naomi. That's the kinsman redeemer working. Well, that's absolutely what Jesus Christ did. It's a total picture of what God was doing for us. That you were lost in your sin. You were going to die. You were going to go to hell. There was no way of escape. But He steps forward and He says, I am willing to die so that you don't have to. I am willing to shed my blood so that you don't have to. I want to redeem them back. Whereas you should pay the punishment for your own sin, Jesus Christ says, you don't have to pay the punishment for your sin. I've taken it for you. That's the picture that this is painting for us. Look in verse 29. It says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. You see, Boaz was not quick to do anything. But Naomi recognized the right timing and instructed Ruth on what to do. So Boaz, you know, he's a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't want to jump to conclusions. He doesn't want to put himself in a position that he shouldn't. But Naomi, she's recognizing God's hand on the situation, and she advises Ruth, "You've got to talk to him. He wants to listen. All you need to do is talk to him. Tell him what's going on." Tell him that God's hand is on this situation. Boaz will accept Naomi's advice, and he will also, get this, he also submits himself to God's plan. I think whenever Ruth came and she showed Boaz, look what's happening. God has brought this situation to you for you to redeem our family. Boaz sees God's handiwork in the whole situation. And he says, yes, I am willing to be a part of God's plan, of God's hand. Hey, you're never going to go wrong if you look to see where God's working and you get behind Him and you follow Him. You're never going to go wrong if you do that. The problem is that a lot of times that's dirty work. It requires a lot of work. It's hard work. It requires dealing with people that sometimes you might not want to deal with. It may even require that, you know, you don't have the things that you want. You know, God's not so interested in our wants. He said He would take care of our needs. What He wants you to be interested in is His wants. What does He want? He wants to reach this world for the gospel, with the gospel, and He wants you to do it. And He will show you the plan. Your job is whenever you see God's plan at work, that you get behind it and you follow it. If you don't know what that plan is, well, you need to seek His face. You need to fast and pray, maybe, for God to show you, what do you want me to do in this life? And get behind Him. Boaz will accept and submit himself to God's plan. He'll marry Ruth, despite what others say. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of talk in town. Have you seen Naomi? She left with a strong husband and two sons, and she comes back with this strange woman. She doesn't look like us. She doesn't talk like us. She's different. She's a Moabite. She's not even Jewish. She's a pagan. She doesn't really serve God. Why is she with Naomi? And Naomi, she doesn't even call herself Naomi anymore. She calls herself bitter. She's a bitter lady now. Who didn't even like to talk to her because of the way that she was. And Boaz is willing to say, you know what? I know it's going to be hard, but I see Ruth's virtue. The film talked about Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman. You know what virtue really is? Virtue is righteousness in action. It's where you seek the heart of God and you live it with your life. Now that can only be done when the Holy Spirit is really inside of you and moving every bit and piece of your life. And you know the thing is, you're okay with that. You don't mind God moving you. You don't mind God directing you. You're seeking His face. You're trusting Him. You're not leaning on your own understanding. You're in all your ways, you are acknowledging Him, and you are okay with that. That's the way that you want your life to run, whatever it may be. It may not mean riches. You're okay with that. Lord, would you just supply my needs? Would you help me just follow your will and your way for my life? Look in verse 33, and we're almost done. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Can you see Ruth in these scriptures? Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that has understanding. All of a sudden, Ruth has got this extra wisdom inside of her. She's fearing the Lord. Boaz fears the Lord. They are now understanding what God is doing. He has drawn two families together. And it says, righteousness exalteth a nation. They had no way of knowing that within the next 60, 70 years, their grandson, their great-grandson would be born who was going to become king of Israel. The scripture will call David a man after God's own heart. Righteousness exalteth a nation. It may be that God is working on you. He wants you to raise your children. Some of you haven't had children yet. You will be having children. Some of you, you're able to speak to your children or maybe your grandchildren or even great-grandchildren now. Righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, when they, and the scripture tells us that it goes to the third and the fourth generation. Why would it say that? Because a lot of times the fourth generation is still alive together at the same time. You have an opportunity to share God's righteousness with that generation. Don't hold it in. Don't keep it to yourself. Righteousness exalteth a nation. It is, there's still hope so long as there's a righteous person alive. Abraham knew that. That's why he, when the Lord came down and he was going to Sodom and he was going to destroy, he shared with Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom because of its cry. And Abraham knows that it's a very wicked place, but he's like, but what if there's 50 righteous? And he doesn't stop there. He keeps begging. What if there's 40? What if there's minus the 40? Maybe there's just 30. Maybe there's 20. Maybe there's only 10. Lord, would you spare that city for 10 righteous souls? Your righteousness might preserve the United States of America. But if you keep it to yourself and it doesn't get passed on to the next generation, you are signing this country's death warrant if you fail to raise children in righteousness, and you fail to teach grandchildren and great-grandchildren about righteousness. It is still your job. It's still your duty. If you are called the body of Christ, that is still your job. Righteousness exalteth the nation. The king's favor is towards the wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Hey, think about this. The king's favor is towards the wise servant. There was no king in Israel, or was there? You see, it won't be too long that they will come to the place to where Samuel is. Samuel will be born. He'll be the last judge of Israel. And they say to Samuel, "Would you give us a king like all the rest of the people?" And Samuel will try to help them understand that God is your king. And you want to put away God as your king for a man as your king. And they said, "Yes, we're willing to do that." But for Ruth, for Boaz, God was king over Israel at that time, and the king's favor was on them, was on their wise servant. Because they recognized who God was, they willingly submitted to Him, they gave their volition, they wanted Him. So through the line, through the lineage of Boaz and Ruth, we talked about it already, came Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords' favor was on this woman who builded her house. And she built it the way God wanted her to build it. Hey, when you leave tonight, think about these things. Determine that you're going to build your house like Ruth did. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for Your love and Your mercy. I want to thank You for the story of Ruth. I want to thank You for Proverbs 14 and how they could be molded together to help us see how You work in the lives of people. I want to thank You for just being with us in everything that we do. Lord, would You help us to acknowledge You? Help us to let You lead us and to guide us. Lord, so often we pray that. But very few times I think that we really allow You to move us in that way. Let Your Holy Spirit direct us in everything that we do. Help our eyes to see where You're working and to follow You. Help us to be the witnesses that we need to be in this world, to our community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.